Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, Apocalypse Cow, the future of life at Point Reyes National Seashore in Northern California, a case with national implications. We are joined once again by investigative journalist, award-winning science writer, Peter Byrne. He writes about the historic and ongoing conflict between ranchers and dairy farmers with environmentalists, history, and the law, a case with national implications. Also, in a related case, Will Carruthers, staff reporter for The Bohemian in Northern California, joins us to discuss a story about environmental and fiscal impacts of dairy farming on local communities. Today on the Project Censored Show, an hour about big agriculture, national parks, environmentalism, and how this affects you. Stay with us on the Project Censored Show.
Crimes perpetrated by the criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguised under the guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies like an ominous.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, in this segment, we're going to look at an issue that, even though it seems local to Northern California, it's actually a practice that we may see all over the country in various guises. Our guests today are returning to the program, and we're going to talk about a piece that was done last year and several follow-ups titled Apocalypse Cow, the Future of Life at Point Reyes National Park. Some listeners will know that I did a program about related issues last summer in 2020, and now I'm doing a follow-up on this show that goes into related areas of interest. I am delighted, of course, to welcome back to the program award-winning international investigative reporter and science writer, Peter Byrne. Peter Byrne has won numerous awards, including from the Society of Professional Journalists. He has also won awards from us here at Project Censored, has been on the program several times to talk about his intrepid investigative reporting. And Peter Byrne is the author of the story we're talking about today on Apocalypse Cow. Peter Byrne, welcome back to the Project Censored Show.
Good to see you again, Mickey, even if it's on a screen.
Indeed, it's always good to talk to you, Peter Byrne. And we are joined also by Will Carruthers, also rejoining the program. Will Carruthers is news reporter for the Pacific Sun and North Bay Bohemian, independent paper that is in Northern California. And so since that's where we're all located, this has a local flair to it. But the local goes to state, goes to national and global in terms of the many concepts we're discussing today. So Will Carruthers, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mickey.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Will, and thanks so much for your incredible local journalism. It's very important, and it fills the void that the corporate press leaves for many curious and interested readers in the area. Peter Byrne, let's start with you and go back, because you've been writing about related issues here, about agriculture and about Point Reyes. And I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering what in the world we're talking about. But let's go back, and you can give us a start from last year. This involves Marin County, which is a predominantly white, wealthy county just north of San Francisco. You wrote a story about the Marin Agricultural Land Trust and how they were paying millions of dollars to family businesses of a member of the board. Seems like a conflict of interest and corruption story. And this, the acronym is MALT, by the way, MALT. And you wrote about MALT Board of Directors' conflicts of interest. And then let's segue into your follow-up pieces on what's happening with Point Reyes. Peter Byrne.
Last summer, I started looking into MALT because the County of Marin demanded that MALT pay them back several million dollars for the county's erroneous contribution to an easement that MALT had purchased from a member of its own board of directors. And the issue was treated in the local corporate press as just kind of a mistake, but I started looking into it and I did a lot of research and was able to show that since around 1980, MALT has sluiced about $50 million to around 30 members of its board of directors, which is, it's a nonprofit, and nonprofits are not allowed to give grants and money to members of its board of directors at the scale, certainly, that this was going on. So I kind of unraveled the whole thing. You know, here in Marin County and Sonoma County here in you know, the North Bay of California, there's a lot of people that are wealthy and that are liberals and that don't want poor people living around them. They like to have vistas. They like farmland. They like ocean views. So for the last 40 years, the elite in Marin County in particular has been putting a lot of money into buying land and keeping it from development. They don't want it to become like Malibu or God forbid, Fresno. So there's a real premium put on open space. And one of the ways that the open space has been bought in West Marin particular, preserved in West Marin, is that people are given easements, which are contracts saying that they can't develop it forever. And they sell those easements to organizations like MALT, which are funded by a local sales tax and also by various types of contributions from individuals and corporations. So over the years, MALT actually put kind of a ring of preservation easements around this vast territory in West Marin, which is primarily agricultural, dairy-type land. And a long time ago, it succeeded in essentially protecting the entire region from any kind of development because no roads could go through the protected areas. And also, the county had zoned in such a way that you could only have one house per 60 acres. So it just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to end up like Malibu or Fresno. But that didn't stop MALT. It just continued on its trajectory of buying the easements, largely from its own board members who all were ranchers and had large ranch holdings. And it turned out to be fairly scandalous when we revealed what had been going on, because people just had this idea that MALT was this wonderful, beautiful nonprofit that was protecting open space. But it turns out that what it was protecting was commercial farming interests. And commercial farming interests are not really good for the environment, because cows, as we will segue into in a few minutes, are actually one of the primary causes of rapid global heating in the planet today. Now, I learned when I was doing this reporting on MALT that a lot of the old-time families that owned these ranches in West Marin also had ranches in Point Reyes National Seashore, which is this vast park on the coast. It's a wonderful ecotone that has gradually slid up the San Andreas Fault from down around Los Angeles over the last 30 million years. And it has all sorts of plants that are indigenous or endemic to its ecotone. And it's a place where thousands of years supported coastal Miwok people who had villages all over the peninsula that's now a park and ate shellfish and regenerated the environment through fire and pruning and took care of the environment. Well, what happened was the Spanish came, of course, and things took a turn for the worse with smallpox and Catholicism decimating the ranks of the Miwok people and all the native people of the Americas. And around the 1850s, when gold was discovered, a lot of people that came here to find gold from Europe and from the East Coast weren't pulling up the nuggets that they wanted. So they decided to go into farming. And Point Reyes had a really nice ecology for farming because it's got a nice climate for cows and it had lots of luscious grass that was always growing. So a dairy industry was established after the 1850s in Point Reyes, and it thrived because it fed San Francisco's need for butter and eggs and milk. And people made a lot of money speculating on land. And gradually, over the decades and over a 100-year period, several families, about 20 different families, ended up owning most of the peninsula and ranching on it. However, a lot of the same anti-development forces that were protecting West Marin decided that they also wanted to protect Point Reyes. So they succeeded in the 1960s and the 1970s in having federal legislation passed that created the Point Reyes National Seashore run by the National Park Service. And one of the stumbling blocks in it was that the ranching families didn't want to sell their lands. But the federal government can do eminent domain, so they didn't have a whole lot of choice. But the federal government decided to give them fair market value, and it appropriated about $57 million to buy land, most of which went to these ranching families. And the deal was that the families could stay there for 25 years and lease the ranches that they had just sold to the federal government for dairy ranching and for cattle ranching, and that they would then leave, say, at the latest by the turn of the millennium. Well, the turn of the millennium came, and instead of leaving, they formed something called the Point Reyes Seashore Association and began lobbying politicians like Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's been in the pocket of agribusiness forever, and Congressman Jared Huffman. Some of the biggest campaign contributors are like American Sugar Company and Clear Cutters and a whole range of corporations that are decimating the environment. Green Diamond Resources, which is a clear cutter. Honeywell International, which has got some of the largest Superfund sites in the United States. Even the Dairy Farmers of America bought Huffman's loyalty, and Huffman jumped into the fray and tried to get a law passed in Congress that would extend the leases that these ranching families had on Point Reyes for 20 years. And now, this was contravening the legislation that founded the park, and it was contravening our understanding of the issues that we have to ameliorate to stop the planet from overheating and killing us all. And it turns out that cows are some of the biggest methane emitters, and that's a greenhouse gas, on the planet. We've got 1 billion cows, and their contribution is overwhelming to global warming. So not only are they polluting the atmosphere, they're also pooping a lot, and that gets into the water. And at Point Reyes, due to dairy farming, it has some of the most toxic waterways that go down into the ocean in the entire state of California. It's full of E. coli and full of nitrogen. And cattle farming, which is allowed to take over about a third of the landmass of Point Reyes Park, which is really considerable, is not only known to be toxifying the landscape and toxifying the air, but it's driving away the wildlife that the park was set up to protect, like tule elk, and is decimating all the native plants and bringing in thistles and the types of silage plants that feed cows that are really not contributing anything to the ecotone. And what it has done is it's eliminated the capacity of the park to be a carbon sink, which is to suck carbon out of the air and return oxygen, which is a very vital element to the survival of all life on Earth. So you've got like this huge political situation where there's a lot of people that are aware of the issues that I just described. And you've got these entrenched ranchers that have the allegiance of these politically corrupted politicians that would do anything for a small donation. Then you've got environmental organizations like Resource Renewal Institute and the Center for Biological Diversity that have resources as well. And in 2016, a consortium of nonprofit environmental organizations sued the Park Service to do an environmental impact statement on this issue of extending the leases to 20 years and beyond, which stopped it dead for the moment, which was good. And the statement was released last October. And basically, it was a hatchet job and a hack job. They hired a consultant to put together the bulk of the 250-page environmental impact statement. A consultant named Lewis Berger, who had been previously fined millions of dollars for defrauding the federal government in Iraq and Afghanistan, and also for bribing public officials all around the world to get contracts to do things like EISs.
Peter Byrne, sorry, I have to interrupt you momentarily on the EIS. Could you tell our listeners what that is?
That's the environmental impact statement.
Yeah, okay. just careful with acronyms because it's radio. We want to make sure people can follow the story. And the story, you're just getting started. I just wanted to remind listeners that you're tuned to the Project Censored show. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. We're speaking with investigative reporter and science writer Peter Byrne. We're also going to be joined in the next segment here of the program by journalist Will Carruthers. You can follow these stories, by the way, at bohemian.com. The story we're talking right now, dated from last year, is on the Marin Agricultural Land Trust Board, and we're talking about conflicts of interest. Peter Byrne has just been giving us a history of that, and we're going to continue with this conversation after this brief musical break. Stay with us.
We're a generation, the male and Suffocating human slime. Nature's disappearing, and we're all guilty of this massive crime. Yes, we are, everybody.
You're listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, we're joined by investigative journalist Peter Byrne and Will Carruthers. We're talking about the Marin Agricultural Land Trust right now and the conflicts of interest in Northern California that eventually not only deal with a lot of ranch land, cattle land, and so forth, but it's going to lead into a conversation we have about a piece that Peter Byrne published recently, both from December and also a follow-up here from last month in February, also with editing and research by Will Carruthers, called Apocalypse Cow: The Future of Life at Point Reyes National Park. So we're going to continue our conversation with Peter Byrne right now, and let's start connecting those dots. So Peter Byrne, before the break, you were talking about the 2016 environmental impact statement. Could you please continue?
The environmental organizations basically made a settlement with the Park Service that resulted in this environmental impact statement, otherwise known as an EIS, being put together by a bunch of really strange consultants. And it was a politically predetermined solution. It was obviously set up to say that it was going to be environmentally okay to extend the leases for ranching in perpetuity. Now, let me just back up by saying that an environmental impact statement is something that's governed by federal laws, and it's required whenever the federal government want to do construction projects and make big changes in the environment. They have to show that it's not going to ruin things for everybody, or at least to detail how much it's going to ruin things for us. So, basically, this report said that the result of getting rid of ranching would actually restore Point Reyes to its former glory before the European settlers came there and ruined it, that it would become a carbon sink, that the pollution would clear up, and that all the pastures that are now full of mud and nitrogen and manure and slicknesses of various sort would be transformed back into native grasses, and that the wildness of Point Reyes would be allowed to regenerate. So this EIS, Environmental Impact Statement, came out, and it basically said, well, we know that it could regenerate, but that's not what we want. What we want is to extend the leases. And then it goes on and it details all the horrible things that are going to happen if you extend the leases, like increasing pollution and having an impact on the environment that is not forward-looking in terms of global warming issues. And it said, but we want to do that anyway, because what we're going to do is we're going to mitigate it. We're going to do things like ask the farmers to install methane digesters over these huge pools of manure that they store the cow poop in, which they periodically suck up into these kind of water tanker trucks and spray on the land as fertilizer to grow more crappy grass for the cows that they're going to either kill or milk to death. And the digesters cost like $1.5 to $5 million. So these farmers aren't ever going to buy them. They're going to just keep doing what they've been doing with the, I have to say, connivance of the Park Service officials, because under the Trump regime, the privatization of Point Reyes National Seashore, which is exactly what this lease extension program is, it's privatizing a public resource. Under the Trump regime, this has exploded and it got very powerful. Now, under the Biden regime, which is obviously not going to be quite as fascist-oriented, hopefully, as the Trump regime, we've seen positive movements towards environmental restoration. Biden is definitely pulling back on some of the worst egregious moves of the Trump administration around national parks and Bureau of Land Management and Arctic wildlife and all that sort of thing. And he's also, Biden has nominated Deborah Holland, who is a Pueblo Indian woman from New Mexico and a congressperson, as Secretary of Interior. So now we're seeing people at the local level in the Park Service starting to think twice about what's going on, because they're government bureaucrats. They'll do whatever they have to do to keep their paychecks. And that means obeying the politicians and ignoring the public. Because if they would actually listen to the public around what's going on in Point Reyes, when the environmental impact statement was being researched, the public made 7,000 comments. And they're all collected together. You can even read them online. And 91% of them said, no, we don't want any more ranching there. The ranchers got their money years ago. They should leave. Most of them have ranches in West Marin. They can just move over there and take their cows. And then we can restore our parks so that it will be beneficial to the native plants and to the wildlife that is being extirpated from there, for the tule elk, which the ranchers want to kill because they compete for forage with the cows, and the ranchers think that giving them a bullet in the brain is the only way to keep them from eating their precious grass. So you've got a situation where there may be a change here, because the same environmental organizations that brought the lawsuit back in 2016 that forced the Park Service to do the environmental impact statement are poised to sue again, because the environmental impact statement, which was put together by these consultants that, like I said, had a lot of troublesome ethical issues in their past, and these Trump obeying bureaucrats at the Park Service, they're up against an informed public. And the public wants to see Point Reyes used as an example of restoration of the environment and of education about the problems with dairy and cattle farming. And I will conclude by saying that the only kind of response that the ranchers and the bureaucrats at the Park Service can come up with to these arguments, these science-based arguments showing just how much benefit humanity would gain from getting rid of ranching at Point Reyes, the only argument they can come up with is that it would harm the local economy of Marin County. And as I showed in Apocalypse Cow, that's not true. There's 64 jobs in the ranching community, and there's 130,000 jobs in Marin. And most of the people with the jobs are underpaid Latino workers that are just being ripped off. So the economic argument doesn't hold any water, and the ecological argument doesn't hold any water for continuing ranching. And I'm going to be optimistic and hope that the Biden administration will tell the bureaucrats to do the right thing.
Well, Peter Byrne, thank you for the expose and summing up what's been happening there, not just recently, but for years. And you write in your piece, by the way, you can find more about Peter Byrne's work at peterbyrne.info, B-Y-R-N-E. The pieces that we're talking about were published at bohemian.com, as well as pacificsun.com, and we'll certainly link those on the website and the Project Censored site so people can follow this. So, Peter Byrne, I want to go back to the Apocalypse Cow. You write about Dianne Feinstein, the senator in California, Representative Jared Huffman, the representative for the region. Their priority is to preserve the private ranching profits over environmental concerns. You've claimed that the environmental impact statement is basically the result of a series of conflicts of interest, that it is very political or politicized. You know, this is a pretty hot issue in Sonoma County, and in not just Marin County, but Sonoma County towns, whether it's Point Reyes or over to Petaluma. How have you seen this coming out maybe in local politics? And Will Carruthers, maybe we can bring you in here into this segment. Could you address how it's trickling down into the local politics?
Well, I'll just throw in before Will talks, because he's got a great story to report, that I've never seen such a grassroots movement locally here take on the Park Service. I mean, there's a lot of people involved at all different kinds of levels of activism. There's people that are kayaking over to Point Reyes to take water to the elk because there's a drought going on. And 5 years ago, hundreds of elk died of thirst, and the Park Service just let it happen. And the reason they died is because there's a fence around an elk herd at the peninsula at the end of Point Reyes. And on the one side is a water for cows, ponds, and streams. And on the other side is only seeps for the elk. And during a drought, the ponds and streams don't dry up for the cows, but they do dry up for the elk. And so there's corpses of these elk that died of thirst, you know, lying around. So people are going over there and doing civil disobedience by taking water there. And there's even films. There's one called The Shame of Point Reyes by a guy named Skyward Thomas, which is really, it's online. It's worth looking at, The Shame of Point Reyes. And what you'll see is that people take big containers of water over for the elk that are dying. And then the Park Service officials come in there and they empty the water and they say, oh, we want to just let nature take its course. Well, nature is completely manipulated by humans and it's not taking its course, if it ever was, especially in this park. You know, a form of animal apartheid is what's going on there. And that's enraged people all over the world, actually, because tule elk have these big brown mammalian eyes and everybody loves the tule elk. And they were saved from extinction by the park, actually. I also want to comment that park management, I think, 10 years ago was much more amenable to preserving wildlife and to the idea of the ranchers eventually leaving. But towards the end of the Obama administration and then into the Trump administration, things just took a 180-degree turn. And it's almost like the Chamber of Commerce is running the Park Service now.
Well, Peter Byrne, before we get to Will Carruthers, and there's another angle, local angle here agriculturally, and we're going to hear more about that. But Peter Byrne, Counterpunch ran a piece, a really fascinating piece, analyzing journalistically what's happening with this story. Apocalypse Cow, Point Reyes National Seashore, launches a propaganda war targeting independent journalism. And of course, right now, when I think about independent journalists on this case, I'm thinking of people like you, Peter Byrne and Will Carruthers and others. Eric Mulvar wrote a piece over at Counterpunch in late February that did a point-by-point analysis of what the National Seashore people were trying to argue versus what was being claimed in the articles. Could you make a quick comment about this? Mulvar's piece clearly shows 10 to 1 that the research and journalism on this has been accurate and that the Point Reyes National Seashore folks really don't have much to stand on.
Well, yeah, it was quite remarkable. Apocalypse Cow, you know, two local newspapers published it and Counterpunch also published it, but it's still profoundly local. And, you know, there have been stories about the tule elk dying of thirst in National Geographic and the San Francisco Chronicle, and the Park Service never tried to correct those stories, but they came after us, maybe because we don't have a whole bunch of lawyers on retainer. And they sent us an email saying that they wanted us to correct certain facts that they said were wrong. And the editors, which included Will and the top editor of the paper, Daedalus Howe, and I looked at the requests and determined that they were specious. We had made no factual errors. Just to give you an example, they said in the headline, you called it the Point Reyes National Park. It's not. It's the Point Reyes National Seashore. In the story, we call it the Point Reyes National Seashore because that's its official title, and that's true. But, you know, a headline is a headline. I mean, if you have a headline that says lame duck flees White House, are you going to say, well, Trump's not a duck, actually? I mean, he might be something else that rhymes with duck that doesn't begin with D. But, you know, it's like, it's a headline, right? And then, we responded to them eventually, and we pointed out that on their own website, they call it Point Reyes National Park. They call it the park, the park, the park. In their leases that they give, they call it the park, the park, the park. So that was like the quality of their critiques. And, you know, I've asked around to people that have been here observing the situation for decades. I said, why do you think they came after us just for stupid stuff like that? And they said it's because of the ranchers. The ranchers are really, really annoyed at Apocalypse Cow because it's really a very, very, very accurate. And it makes a really profound and emotionally backed and intellectually backed case for removing ranchers from the park, which they've been despoiling for, you know, 150 years. So that's what they did. And we eventually came back and responded publicly and disclosed all the factual analysis behind our reporting. So we've asked them to retract it. And frankly, if they don't, we will crowdfund for a law firm to sue them for libel if necessary. I mean, because it's not okay for the federal government to slime a local newspaper and lie about its reporting. I mean, if we did make an error, we would, of course, correct it. We've corrected errors in the past, rarely, because we don't make very many errors. But in this case, we didn't make any. And if they don't remove their libelous accusations from the website and broadcast out an email retracting the lies in their previous propaganda push, then we will take whatever legal steps are necessary to make it happen.
Peter Byrne, you are author of this article that we're discussing here, Apocalypse Cow, The Future of Life at Point Reyes National Park, or National Seashore. And Will Carruthers, we're going to bring you in, independent reporter for The Bohemian in Northern California. We're going to continue our conversation after this musical break. Stay with us.
As I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign it said no trespassing, but on the other side it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York.
Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. Our guests today have been Peter Byrne, investigative reporter, also an internationally renowned science writer, award-winning journalist. He's been on the Project Censored Show before, does everything from local to global reporting. We're also going to be joined here now by Will Carruthers. He's the staff reporter at The Bohemian. This is the local newspaper, the local weekly in Northern California in Sonoma County. And before the break there, you just heard Peter Byrne talking about how the Park Service was going after the local journalists. They were going after these local independent journalistic reports. The reason I'm pointing that out is because local journalism matters. We live in a country full of news deserts where we don't have adequate investigative reporters on the ground to tell the public what's really going on in these areas where there are mass conflicts of interest and lots of money at stake. And we're very fortunate here in Northern California to have people like Peter Byrne and Will Carruthers. And so we are going to get to you, Will Carruthers, but Peter Byrne, you said something before the break that I'd like to hear if you have anything to say about, and that is there is one big elephant in the room over here. In Northern California, there is a big newspaper called the Press Democrat. And of course, in the shadows of the mighty Press Democrat lives The Bohemian and lives independent reporters like yourselves. What has the Press Democrat's take been on these issues or this issue, and have they come to your defense at all?
Well, the Press Democrat is owned by Darius Anderson, who is the most powerful political lobbyist in the state of California, and who is a businessman, a real estate developer. He's in alliance with a billionaire named Ron Burkle, redeveloping Treasure Island in San Francisco Bay, which is one of the most valuable pieces of real estate in the world. And he's all over the place, making little deals to do this and little deals to do that, wine, you know, you name it. And he owns all of the print media in Northern California, except for The Bohemian. He's got seven newspapers. He bought them all up. They weren't that great to start with, to tell you the truth, but now they're nothing more than Chamber of Commerce newsletters. We've reported on it in the past. We did a story a couple years ago called Charity Case about a nonprofit that Mr. Anderson set up in the wake of the 2017 wildfires to help wildfire victims. It was actually used as a lobbying group by him and the local elite to try and go to Washington and siphon the money into their own interests. So the Press Democrat ignores basically everything that local investigative reporting does, because they don't do investigative reporting. All they do is called native advertising. You can actually go there as an advertising seeker, and you can buy a news article which will not be identified as advertising. It's called native advertising or alternative advertising. It's a very big thing that people don't talk about very much, but which needs to be talked about more because every newspaper in the country does it, including the New York Times. You can buy articles now, and they're not disclosed as having been bought. So the Press Democrat does that, and then its reporters go around and put the Chamber of Commerce spin on just about everything that happens. And they're constantly having to include in their articles, like when they write about real estate deals or various types of enterprises that they're covering. By the way, the owner of the Press Democrat, Darius Anderson, is an investor in this.
Peter Byrne, we could certainly talk more about those situations. Will Carruthers, let's bring you in. You've been patient and listening, and I know that you've worked with Peter Byrne for some time, and you edited the Apocalypse Cow piece, but there's, I wouldn't say a directly related, but certainly a related story agriculturally, maybe more local to what's happening in Northern California, Sonoma County, but certainly, as you've heard Peter Byrne talking about Chamber of Commerce politics and local politics that favor big developers, big businesses, and so on, over the local populations, over workers, and over the environment. Well, right here, we have a story in Petaluma, California. The business, the Petaluma Creamery, the owner has a long history of code violations. And I know this is a developing story, but you just did a piece last month tracking the Petaluma Creamery owner's history of code violations. Could you, in a nutshell, tell our listeners what's going on with this particular story and, of course, why it's not only a local story? Will Carruthers.
Just to back up, I think one of the really strong things about Peter's article in kind of reframing the debate locally is about one of the go-to things that the dairy industry in Point Reyes says and in Marin and Sonoma counties is that they're a historic industry and this is a reason to maintain them. When you actually look at it, they started in 1850 and they took over land previously used by Native people. So that whole argument really colors the debate, though, usually when it's covered in the local press, and Jared Huffman often says this and other people like him. But the Petaluma Creamery is somewhat similar because Petaluma, if people don't know, is in Sonoma County, and it is known for things like the Butter and Eggs Festival each year.
The egg capital of the world at one point.
Yeah. So the kind of conservative politicians are very proud of the history there. So this guy, Larry Peter, a local dairy farmer, purchased the Petaluma Creamery, which was built in 1913. He bought it in 2004 after the previous owner was going out of business. And essentially, he's usually praised in local press for, you know, saving the dairy industry and things like that, because this business supports all the dairy ranchers. I found out that the story is a lot more complicated than that. He is owed the city of Petaluma $600,000 in 2010. And by December 2020, he owed them $1.4 million for a variety of fines and unpaid water bills and things like that.
Will Carruthers, I just want to interrupt just for one moment to let our listeners know, since our show is on some 50 stations across the United States, Petaluma used to be more of a rural farm town. And of course, in the last several decades, it's become a lot more gentrified as San Francisco and Silicon Valley bleed into all the surrounding areas. Petaluma is a city of roughly 60,000 people, just giving our listeners an idea of kind of what we're talking about. So Petaluma Creamery prides itself as being a fairly significant local business. And you're going to hear a lot of the arguments like Peter Byrne brought up before about how it employs a lot of people in the city and it patronizes the farmers and so on and so forth. So at any rate, Will Carruthers, please continue the story, because in this case, very clearly, Larry Peter has ended up $1.4 million in arrears to the city of Petaluma. And for a city the size of Petaluma, that's a remarkable amount of money. Will Carruthers.
And the other thing to say about the politics of agriculture in this community is this is usually thought of wine country and a liberal bastion. And certainly a lot of people like to think of us that way. The things that had happened in the past year that we've been covering at the Bohemian is kind of a split where a lot of the conservative elements and the sort of Trump type elements, pro-law enforcement elements, are represented by the Sonoma County Farm Bureau. We had sort of a police reform effort here, and it was the Sonoma County Farm Bureau who came to the aid of local law enforcement, whereas sort of progressive elements pretty much came out universally pro law enforcement reform. So that's just some background about the split here. But what happened with the Petaluma Creamery is that the Petaluma city managers repeatedly said, we kind of went easy on Larry Peter because we want to save the farm industry locally. I've obtained documents that basically show that they weren't really going too hard on them. He just racks up fines and the city bugs him to collect and he never pays the entire thing.
This has been going on for a long time. How long has this been going on? These arrears again, well over a decade.
I think he stopped paying in about 2007, and then he owed $600,000 by 2010, and it's just built up since then. But one of the things that pushed the city into it, I don't think it's just a sudden change of heart. There was an audit by the EPA of their wastewater management plan in 2017-2018. That audit actually said, you have an obligation to do more than fine this guy because he's not paying his dues. So the city sued them, sued the creamery, and then the judge ruled that he had to pay a large portion of the arrears. And then he just never paid the arrears. And that deadline ended in December 31st. So this is sort of his track record. The article that Mickey mentioned earlier traces his broader history of violating county codes and then just getting a slap on the wrist. The most egregious thing that has been recorded about him was that in 2009, his workers dumped 50,000 gallons of wastewater into a nearby creek near his Petaluma Dairy property out in the outskirts of the city. And he didn't report it to the authorities, you know, environmental regulators. Instead, a neighbor reported it, and the environmental regulators came out and found it. So then the environmental regulators said we should press criminal charges on him, while the local DA decided to press civil charges. He came to an agreement with them. Then he didn't follow the rules, and et cetera, et cetera. So he's kind of just a bad actor, local businessman. But really, it's just a story of the local regulators repeatedly going soft on somebody who has a track record of not really following the rules.
You're tuned to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. We'll continue our conversation after this brief musical break. You're listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, we're joined by investigative journalist Peter Byrne and Will Carruthers. Will Carruthers, in this case, also, I mean, this seems like a pattern, right? This is a clearly documented pattern, enough such that outside entities have come in and said, hey, something should be done about this. It's as if the rules don't apply to certain people. We're well aware of how that goes in the United States and with capitalism. But the other thing, too, is that it's also the case that there's demonstrable evidence that Larry Peter also was taking out loans, bought the historic Washoe House Bar and Restaurant during this time. And then the city had given the creamery a March 1st deadline to come up with the $1.4 million. And this is the developing element of the story. 11th hour, or, you know, 2 minutes to midnight, whatever, however you want to call it, Peter shows up with, Larry Peter has a cashier's check for $844,000 to the city, which is more than half of what's owed. But Will Carruthers, what do you make of these developments, even though understanding they're unfolding?
It's kind of part of this broader thing of supporting the dairy industry, and the dairy industry constantly crying poverty whenever the regulators come around, right? So that's Larry Peter's whole thing. And one of the reasons he gives, he doesn't really push back factually a lot of time on the permit violation problems. He just says, well, I can't pay the fine. But then he turns around and buys additional properties with loans and such. So that's been the background here. And lo and behold, the March 1st deadline came around, and he actually asked for, you know, a payment schedule to pay off the $1.4 million. And the city said no. They're kind of having a more hardline approach at the moment. But then, yeah, he shows up with an $844,000 check.
Two things, Will Carruthers. Why would the city say no? Does that have anything to do with past as prologue here?
Yeah, as I mentioned, they sued him in 2018. This judge ordered him to pay $600,000 in 24 installments, and he just didn't pay that. So clearly they've caught on.
And as you mentioned, purchased the historic Washu House, also the Tamales Bakery in Marin County. And then for someone that wasn't able to pay in arrears, and let's say, too, the Creamery is a local employer. There are a number of people with jobs there. It's a local mainstay in a city like Petaluma that prides itself around these issues. But mysteriously then comes up with 60% of the amount owed. What are your views on that, Will Carruthers?
I don't know. I think it's a bit too soon to tell. I'm going to try to figure out where the money came from, whether he sold property or just took out a loan. I'm not quite sure. And I guess it's the city's move now. I mean, in their latest letter, they said he had to pay the whole $1.4 million, and he's obviously paid a substantial portion of it, but not the whole thing.
Well, Peter Byrne, let's bring you back in here. Interestingly enough, we all, for full disclosure, we all live either in or around Petaluma, California. So this is definitely a local story from our perspective. But Peter Byrne, let's extrapolate on some of the critiques that you were having about the seashore and what was happening there. What do you see going on here in this case regarding the Creamery as you've been seeing it?
Well, first of all, I think it's a tribute to the power of local journalism. People are just hungry for good investigative reporting. And we have these two alt-weeklies, Pacific Sun and the Bohemian, that cover three counties, Napa, Sonoma, and Marin. So it's pretty much incumbent upon us. Advertising is down. We're struggling. The paper's like 20 pages sometimes. And so we fit in some lifestyle stuff, but we try to have, you know, hard-hitting investigative reporting on a regular basis. And I think this is a testament to Will's reporting and to the power of local journalism that Mr. Peters is actually having to pay, because frankly, without some press attention, it's possible that nothing would have happened. And it brings up, you know, a larger concern that links it back to Marin County dairy farming and Point Reyes, which is that the dairy farmers are always crying poverty. But, you know, they're very land rich, as it were. They get a lot of tax breaks because of these easements. And being in a national park, they're just paying below market rents for these thousands of acres. They're getting a free ride, getting welfare from the government, basically, yet they cry poverty. Now, there's probably some truth to that because dairy is on the way out. I mean, almond milk is big, right? People are starting to look askance at the cow belching, you know, which is, you know, causing, you know, the globe to heat up worse than carbon dioxide, actually, on a short-term basis. And the issue with polluting the waterways, which, you know, these beautiful bucolic landscapes actually have a toxic understory, is not normally told by corporate newsletters like the Press Democrat, which never saw a business person that it wanted to critique at all about anything. So the power of local journalism still exists because people want us here. People aren't always sure how to support it, especially when you can pick up a copy of the Bohemian and the Pacific Sun for free. But you can go and support it online, you know, through PayPal and stuff like that. You can go to my website and support investigative reporting, all that kind of stuff. But fundamentally, we need people to stop giving subscription money to the Press Democrat and the San Francisco Chronicle and the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and this whole raft of enemies of the people, because you're just encouraging them when you give them money. There's all sorts of ways to read it for free if you want to. You can get it through the New York Times, through the library. You can get it free every day if you want to go that route. But mostly, we should just start, you know, ignore them. I mean, why are these people talking about Trump? He's flown. He's a dead issue. And yet they keep talking about him all the time. This corporate media is the enemy of the people and all life forms in the universe. So stop giving them money.
Well, Peter Byrne, that's certainly a worthy rant that needs to be put on repeat in many newsrooms and certainly in the homes of many people in this country, not just in the local community here in Northern California, but across the country. Will Carruthers, I want to bring you back in here to make a comment. Since we've been talking, I've been trying to follow this story of the Petaluma Creamery in particular, and I just looked Larry Peter, Petaluma Creamery. I put several different searches in here. I don't see anything other than the Pacific Sun, the Bohemian, the work that Peter Byrne, Will Carruthers, I don't see any real reporting here. And I know the Argus Courier in Petaluma, that's owned by the Press Democrat, has some polls, and they have some local chit chat on the internet going on about how people chime in comment sections, and they're usually half informed at best or misinformed. Yeah. Will Carruthers, can you comment on that? You know, again, that's back to the news desert idea, and it ties right into what Peter Byrne was just talking about the importance of local journalism.
You know, the Argus Courier actually has started covering it in the past 3 or 4 days. They've done little pieces on it, but I agree with Peter. I don't think they would have covered it if I hadn't. You know, we splashed it on the cover page of our paper, and it did get some attention. I think this is one of the strange things about news deserts. You stumble onto something, and it turns out the neighbors of the creamery have been pissed off at this guy for 10 years or more. So this is like a major issue that a lot of people care about, but it never shows up in the press a lot of times. So I'm glad that we were able to push the Argus Courier into covering it. Some news channel was just up here covering it. I don't think they've gone as deep as I have. I think it's really important to have the greater context here, which is that this guy, not only at the creamery, but at other properties, has a track record like we've talked about.
Well, Will Carruthers, one of the legacies here is the environmental degradation that you heard Peter Byrne talking about before out at Point Reyes. You alluded to this in the creamery story, but isn't it the case also that there's polluted drainage that's going under Steamer Landing, under public areas and so forth in the town center?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I mentioned in the article is that I haven't looked into all of the polluted waterways here, but Peter was alluding to it. You know, the Petaluma River, they're working on this document called a total maximum daily load, which is sort of a jargony way of saying, here's the level of crap you can put in the river. So the EPA is about to sign off on that. But, you know, the critics of that and environmentalists say it's going to be too weak and we're probably going to end up having a plan, but the plan's not good enough to clean it up. So that's something I'm going to be reporting on. Some of that is to do with dairy cows. Some of it's to do with the city's inadequate sewer system or historically inadequate sewer system. It's a complicated issue.
Will Carruthers, indeed, that's true, but get it real local here into the weeds. Anything from Mayor Teresa Barrett? Anything from City Council? Have you talked to any of these folks in your reporting?
I haven't yet. I've tried to stick with the staff and the reports they're putting out. She was interviewed on the TV show and said pretty much basic stuff. They're frustrated that he's had arrears for so long. I'm not really sure, but there may be a factor here of there's a new city council, which is a bit more progressive than it historically was. So I don't know.
A lot of developers and pro real estate people historically have been involved there. Will Carruthers, where can people find your work?
Bohemian.com.
And could you spell your last name?
Sure. Carruthers.
Yes, I want to make sure people know that to follow Will Carruthers' work at Bohemian.com. Peter Byrne, come back on here for the last word.
The local politicians will not do anything except what the Chamber of Commerce tells them to do, unless there's a press that holds their toes to the fire, as Will has done and as the Bohemian has done for many years, and as the Press Democrat never does. So it's just a truism that if you don't have a vibrant local press, then the bad guys are going to just win all the time.
That may sound simplified, but it seems to be a long story over the course of the last couple of centuries that we need intrepid investigative reporters, and those people need to be supported independently. They need to be supported without strings attached. And of course, that's what community radio and community media really has done, to come in and fill that void in the news deserts where we only have corporate media. And Peter Byrne, you really called it out earlier when you mentioned that the owners of the Press Democrat have gobbled up almost all of the Northern California newspapers, right?
Yeah, so they're a monopoly. There's actually laws against monopoly, and they're a monopoly. I mean, there should be a Department of Justice investigation because they're squelching competition. Recently, Darius Anderson's Sonoma Media Investments, that owns the seven newspapers, went and bought up a little monthly rag, the West County Times or whatever it was called. Just this little newspaper that was giving people the opportunity to write columns that reflected local issues, they bought it. So, you know, we can look forward to seeing that whatever content there of investigative focus there was in that being dissipated into promoting the latest winery. shall I say, the other business that Mr. Anderson and his colleagues have going, which is the cannabis business.
Right. Well, we'll certainly be looking for more reports, local reports, and of course, how they portend statewide and nationally. PeterByrne.info, B-Y-R-N-E, is where you can learn about Peter Byrne's writing, an internationally acclaimed science writer, investigative reporter. Will Carruthers from the Bohemian, the Society of Professional Journalists NorCal chapter, awarded the two of you last year the Freedom of Information and First Amendment Award. Congratulations on your award, and thank you also for your reporting on these very significant local subjects that have, again, much larger implications. And these are things that are happening all over our country. And I think the more people become attuned to how journalism works, who owns the media, people start to discover how important local independent journalism is. We're fortunate to have people like Peter Byrne and Will Carruthers in our community. So thank you, Peter Byrne. Thank you, Will Carruthers, for joining us on the Project Censored Show today.
Wow. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians. You've been listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio, established in 2010 by myself and Peter Phillips. I'm Mickey Huff, the executive producer and host of the program. Anthony Fest is our longtime senior producer. The Project Censored Show airs on roughly 50 stations around the United States from Maui to New York. To learn more about our work or find any of our previous archive programs, go to projectcensored.org. Please follow and like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the official Project Censored Show on your cell phone's podcast application. Please feel free to share your feedback about our work at projectcensored.org. And last but not least, thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Stay well. We'll see you next time. Unthinkable crimes perpetrated by the criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguised under the guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fall for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by taxes, while the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons filled with capacity citizens. In the times where the master thief could find and conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Times running out to reach all potential fame at the table, then you're probably on the menu.